G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Praise the Lord. Well, if you've got a Bible, have a look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. You know, doing life's not meant to be something that wears us out. Doing life is not meant to be something that overwhelms us. But how many people feel exactly like that? That just doing life is just wearing them out and overwhelming them. Hey, you know, whether it's problems in the family or whether it's problems at work or challenges in health or challenges in finances, people are often feeling overwhelmed and worn out. For a lot of people, the stress isn't even necessarily something that's big. For a lot of people, it's just come to a stage where they're getting worn out and overwhelmed by little things. It's the traffic. It's having to queue up. So I just had to choose the longest line, didn't I? Or you choose the shortest line and then everyone else is going through and your line's just stuck and all of a sudden you're feeling overwhelmed and worn out. Or whether it's trying to find a parking spot and someone zips in and grabs yours. You know, or whether it's that irritating colleague or neighbor. Could be that member of the family who snorts when they laugh. Whatever it is, there's things that seem to get people down and wear them down, hey. And sometimes by the time we've managed all of these things, we can often feel like the Christian life is just another thing to add to our to-do list. Can feel like just another chore. And yet in the midst of that, we're going to read a scripture that is just like, it's just like the most refreshing drink to someone who's incredibly thirsty. Hey, here in the midst of all of that, Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, give me an oi if you're there. It says, come to me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, we're going to be looking at this scripture. We're going to be looking. It'll probably take me, I think, 2-3 weeks to probably get out some of the stuff that God's put in my heart to talk about this. This resting in Christ. The rest that God promises us. In contrast to life being something that wears us out and overwhelms us, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and find rest for your soul. And today I've got three main points that I'm going to be talking about, but we'll sort of go into more detail even next week and probably the week after. But the 3 points, if you're a note taker, you can write these down. And rest is freedom from being worn out and burned out. Rest is the realization that God has already provided everything you're going to ever need in your life. And rest is ceasing from self-effort. And we'll look at those one at a time. Hey, I looked up in the dictionary this word rest. What does it mean? And the Merriam-Webster and the Oxford Dictionary says that rest is freedom from activity or labor. It's a peace of mind or spirit. It's a freedom from anxiety. Or to conclude a law case, like the prosecution sometimes says, we rest our case. Well, in the scripture, when it uses rest, it kind of goes a little bit deeper than some of those things, eh? And the first point that I want to look at is that rest is freedom from being worn out and burned out. Jesus said, come to me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So rest is contrasted, rest is compared with laboring and being heavy laden. If we can understand what it means to labor and be heavy laden, we'll have some idea of what it means to rest. Because Jesus is saying, man, are you laboring? Are you heavy laden? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. So it's something that's very, very, very different to that. Well, that word labor, in some other translations, that word labor is weary. The New Living Translation says, come to me all you who are weary. So when it's labor, it's like working and being worn out. In fact, it's the Message translation that says worn out in this same passage. The Message says, are you tired? Are you worn out? So to labor, when Jesus says, come to me all you who labor, he's saying, come to me all of you who are worn out. All of you who are tired. You're exhausted. You've been stretched as far as you feel like you've been stretched, and then somebody wants to stretch you another three blocks. We got lost in San Francisco, hey? We caught a cable car. Actually, I said to Joy, that was one of the things on our list. We wanted to catch a cable car in San Fran. You know, like that's one of the icons of San Francisco. We couldn't find a single cable car. Drove around for a couple of days, couldn't find a single one. And I said to Joy, I said, look, I think we're going to have to scratch that one. I said, I don't think we're going to find a cable car. And we walked 10 metres to the corner of Australia. I looked up and there's two cable cars coming towards us. So, well, we won't scratch that. So we got on the cable car. We had an awesome time, took a lot of photos and stuff, got off, and then we went and had lunch, and I lost my map. And to get back to the cable car was this massive hill. It was like that, you know, like, because we walked down it. It was easy. But I thought, oh, we're not going to go up there. So anyway, so walking blocks, it just reminded me when you're talking about when you're feeling stretched, when you labor, you'll become weary and worn out because you've been stretched. You feel as far as you can go, but then people are asking you to go even further than that. And Jesus is saying in these scriptures, he's saying, come to me, those of you who are worn out, those of you who are weary, those of you who feel like you've been stretched. And then the words heavy laden. The New Living Translation says carrying heavy burdens, or burned out on religion, the Message says, or you have heavy loads. So the rest that Jesus promises is freedom from being weary, freedom from being tired or worn out because of work. It's freedom from carrying heavy loads or burdens or being burned out on religion. Hey, I looked up the Greek words, you know, that's used in when it says labor and heavy laden to see if they could bring out. And the word labor literally in the Greek means worn out through work. So when Jesus was giving his invitation, he was saying, come to me, all you who are worn out through work. What an awesome invitation that is. The same word is actually used in Luke chapter 5. We remember when Jesus preached an awesome message by the Sea of Galilee, and then he said to Simon, whose boat he was standing on, he said, Simon, put your nets, launch out into the deep. And Peter looked at him and he said, Master, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. And that word toil is the same word, labor. Master, we've worked all night, we're worn out and we've caught nothing. It gives you an idea. And Jesus is saying, yeah, but you're with me now. Put your nets in. The word heavy laden in the Greek, it literally means to be burnt out. It's the Greek word is fortizo, and it means to be overloaded or overburdened. And actually only appears twice in the entire New Testament. Appears once in this passage in Matthew, but another time in Luke 11, when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, and he said, woe to you lawyers and Pharisees, for you load men with burdens. You burn out men by putting these heavy loads on them. So the invitation that Jesus is giving is saying, come to me, all of you who are worn out because of work. And those of you who are worn out and burned out because of the burdens that you've been carrying, come to me and I will give you rest. The rest that Jesus gives us is a freedom from being worn out and by being burned out because of problems. Hey? Now, I want you to understand something. When we talk about rest, when we're saying it's a freedom from being worn out because of work, and it's a freedom from being burned out by problems, we're not talking about the absence of work or the absence of problems. You're not going to be absent from those things. It's a freedom. And there's a difference, hey? Absence is when the thing is not in your life anymore. Freedom is when you're no longer chained to it or bound by it. Jesus wants to set you free so those problems and that work that you find such a chore and so difficult to do, he wants to set you free where you've just got a joy and a spring in your step and you're able to do it and it doesn't weigh you down anymore. I think some Christians make the mistake of thinking, well, God, you know, like, why is things so tough? Jesus never ever promised that things would be easy. He did promise they're simple. But, you know, it wasn't always easy for Jesus, was it? And he said, you know, in this life you will have tribulation. It's not always going to be easy. But when you follow him, he'll get you through. And whatever he shows you to do, it's really simple. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to be able to do it. So I want you to understand that resting is not the absence of work. There is a work that God calls us to do, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we go on. And it doesn't mean that you'll have absence of problems. It just means the problems won't bring you down. They won't burn you out. So rest is the freedom from being worn out and burned out. That's my first point. My second point is rest is the realization that God has already provided everything you will ever need. Well, we just said rest is freedom from being worn out and burned out. And while that's true, there's a deeper meaning to rest. Hey, you're not always going to rest because you're tired. You don't always sit down and rest because you're tired or worn out. Sometimes you sit down because you finished. If you finish, what are you going to do? Just stand around. Oh, I'm finished, but I'm not tired, so I'll just stand here. You're not going to do that. So when we're talking about resting, we're not necessarily talking because we're tired, therefore we need to rest. God rested after 6 days of creation. Does that mean he was worn out? It's like, man, oh, I need a rest. No. It just meant after 6 days he'd done everything that he intended to do, and so he sat. He rested. And so when Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you rest, he's not just saying, I'm going to give you rest because you're worn out. That could be the case, but it also includes that, guess what? Everything you need, I've provided for you. So rest. Instead of stressing, like, what am I going to do? They said they're going to lay people off at work. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Or what am I going to do? The doctors have said that this will never, ever be healed. What am I going to do? And instead of thinking about those things, it's realizing, God, you've provided everything I ever need. And so I can rest. You know, when a lawyer says, I rest my case, it's not because they've run out of things to say. It's like, I can't say anymore, so I'll rest. No, a lawyer says, I've rest my case because they've completed their presentation. There's nothing more to add. In fact, if they add any more, they're going to take away from what they've said. And so a lawyer rests their case. When an artist completes a picture and they're painting a picture, at some point they're going to put the paintbrush down. Why are they doing that? It's because, I don't know what color that's meant to be, so I'll just stop right there. No, because at some point, when they're painting whatever masterpiece they're working on, at some point they're saying, you know what, if I add one more dab of paint to this, I'm going to reduce it. So I'm stopping right now. I'm resting. The rest that God promises you and I is a rest that comes from the realization he's done it all. He's done it. You've got all the healing you'll ever need in your entire life. You've got all the forgiveness, all the grace, all the love. It's all been shed abroad in your heart. And so there's a realization that comes with that. Hey, it's understanding, God, The peace that I so desperately need has already been deposited in my heart. The victory over sin, this thing that just keeps frustrating me, and I don't seem to be getting over it, this thing, you've already put the victory within me. The freedom from fear, from depression, from anxiety is already within you. Do you realize your spirit is perfect? There's no difference between your spirit and the spirit of Christ. Because the scripture says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. We might study the difference in terms of theology, but you're one spirit with him if you're born again. That means your spirit has never ever been defeated for a single day since you were born again. Your spirit has never been depressed. Your spirit has never been fearful. Your spirit has never ever been confused. It's never been frustrated. If there are things that you're feeling in your life, guess what? It's only because you don't walk in the spirit. And so resting is the realization, God, all of it, everything is within me. Everything I need is within me. It's done. I can rest. Because it's done. And that's so different, isn't it, to how many Christians are thinking, man, I need healing. I've got to pray. I've got to confess the word. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I need money. I've got to give. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And they're trying to work their way into getting something that God's already given them. Now there is a place that there is a work that you and I do, and I'll come to that in due time. But let me show you a scripture so that you understand this is not just my opinion about that God has provided everything you'll ever need. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Give me an oi when you're there. So it says there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now that word saved, literally it means to be healed, to be delivered, to be protected, to be provided for, to prosper. So this scripture says, by grace you've been healed. Through faith. By grace, you have been protected. Through faith. By grace, you've been delivered. By grace, you've been provided. By grace, you have prospered. Through faith. I want you to notice it says, by grace, you have been. Everyone say, have been. Have been. If you have been, that means you're not gonna. It doesn't say, by grace, you're gonna be delivered. By grace, you're gonna be healed. Says by grace you have been saved. By grace you have been healed. Everything you will ever need in this life on earth has already been provided for through what Jesus did on the cross. And resting is coming to that realization. It's done. It's done. And it's within me. This is not my opinion. This is what the Word of God has to say. By grace you've been healed, delivered, protected, prospered, and provided for. And resting is the realization that it's all there and it's all within you. My third point is resting is ceasing from self-effort. And this is where I want to talk a little bit about the works, hey? Too many in the body of Christ have fallen into a performance mentality, hey? They're always trying to do something to get something from God. Always trying to do something to get God's acceptance. Always trying to do something to get God's approval. So how do we get His acceptance? How do we get His approval? How do we get these things? Is it by praying for an hour or more a day? Maybe then He'll accept us. Is it through Bible reading or Bible study? If we're diligent in that, maybe we can get His approval. Is it through attending church regularly? Is it through paying your tithes? I hate that phrase. I don't pay. Joy and I don't pay our tithes. We present our tithes. That's the scriptural way of doing it. We present it. The scripture talks about you present it under the Lord. That's why we have the bucket out the front. Because the people, there was no bucket that was passed around for people to pay their tithes. They came and they presented under the Lord. But is that how we can get approval from God? If we pay our tithes, or if we do good things to other people, or maybe if we refuse to watch TV, smash the TV, maybe, or just refuse to watch the bad shows. Anything like you know, PG-13 or above, we won't watch them, eh? Maybe refusing to eat on certain days. If we fast, maybe then we can get his approval or his acceptance, eh? None of those things are going to qualify you for God's acceptance. There's only one thing that qualifies you and I, and that's faith in him and in the work that he's already done. If it was anything else, there would have been no reason for Jesus to die on the cross. If there was anything else you and I could have done to gain God's approval and acceptance, when Jesus was in the garden and he said, "Father, if there be another way, let this cup pass from me," God would have said, "Actually, there is. If they fast 3 times a week, then. Or if they only watch NCIS, then. But if they watch anything else on TV, sorry, Jesus, you're going to have to go on that cross." No, the approval and the acceptance in Christ comes from what Jesus did for us. Is that right? Do I hear an amen? Amen. And that's why it says, by grace, you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, I don't know about you, but I know for many, many years, I struggled to understand what grace was. And I struggled to understand, how does faith fit in? Is it grace or is it faith? You know, like, you talk to some people and they say, well, it's grace. It's grace, God. God provided everything because of his grace. There's nothing that we could have without the grace of God. And that's all true. But then I would hear others say, no, it's faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Unless we have faith, we'll perish. It's those who believe in him won't perish, but have everlasting life. And so I wonder, well, where do they fit in? How does it work in here? And it's important that we understand the correlation of the two if we're going to experience the rest that God has for us. And like a lot of things, both parties are true. There's an element of truth in both. It's grace and it's faith. It's not one or the other, it's both. They're just two sides of the one coin. And you need both. If you're a note taker, you can write this down. Hey, this is something the Holy Spirit gave me. Grace is the cause, faith is the condition. Grace is the cause, faith is the condition. The scripture that we looked at says, by grace you have been saved. That's the cause. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we could never, ever have got saved. But that's not all that's needed. In fact, I think it's in Titus that says, the grace of God that results in salvation has appeared unto all men. Now, if grace is all that was needed, then that's all we need. Because the grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Yet not everybody gets saved. There are people in hell right now. So there's got to be more than grace. Grace is the cause. Grace is the cause. The love of God and the grace of God was the cause that sent Jesus to the earth. The grace of God, the love of God, was the cause that made him get on that cross. It was because of his love for you and I. That's why he did it. But then there's our part. Faith is the condition. Salvation has been provided, but it's on the condition that you believe. Can you see that? There's a correlation between the two. And so when we're talking about resting, we're talking about ceasing from self-effort. God, you've done it all. All I need to do is believe what you've done. I'll show you another example in the scriptures. Have a look at Colossians chapter 1. This is really, really important. Understanding the difference that grace and faith are two sides of the same coin. The love of God and the grace of God is what brought it all to us. But we have a response, and our response, the condition for us to receive all that God has provided, is for us to believe that He's provided it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Give me an oy vey there. So it says, "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death." Now let's just stop there. We'll go further in a minute. I want you to understand, because there's some words there. Reconciled basically means to bring into harmony. So it says, "You who were once alienated and enemies in your mind because of the bad things you've done, yet now He's brought you back into harmony with Himself in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." Turn around to the person next to you and say, "I'm holy." Turn around to the person on the other side and say, "You're righteous." This scripture says that we are presented before Him holy and blameless and above reproach. In Ephesians 4, it says holy and righteous. It says you were once enemies because of your wicked works, yet now He's brought you into harmony with Himself, and you are holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. That's grace. That's the cause. It's the love of God that brought that. It's not because you and I were good people. He didn't look down from heaven and say, "Oh, shucks. Oh, look at Micah. I just love him so much, eh? Man, he deserves for me to get on the cross." No, He didn't deserve it, and neither did I, and neither did you. We didn't deserve to be rescued. It was His grace and His love that sent Him to hell so that you and I would never, ever have to go there. Hey, that's the cause. But there's a condition. You'll never experience that holiness, that blamelessness, the above reproach, you'll never experience it unless you activate the next verse, verse 23. "If indeed you continue in the," what? "Faith." There's a correlation between grace and faith. When we rest understanding God's provided it all, and we activate our faith and say, "God, I don't need to do anything because You've given it already. I believe it. I believe that." And then there will be things, there will be a work that He'll call you to do. Doesn't mean that you're not working. But it just means you're not trying to earn it. You're not trying to do things to twist God. "What do I got to do to get God to heal me?" You don't have to do anything. He's already healed you. "Well, I don't feel healed. And the doctor doesn't say I'm healed." Well, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the doctor? Are you going to believe your body? Or are you going to believe what God says? I know at the end of time, there'll be one standing who everyone will say, "You were right." And it ain't going to be the doctor. There is a work. Jesus said, "This is the work that you've been called to do, that you believe on Him who was sent." That's the work. There's a work that we do. And that work is to stir ourselves up to believe. And sometimes that's not an easy thing. It's simple, but it's not easy. When your body is screaming because of pain, and you feel like, "I can't walk another step," and yet His word is saying, "By His wounds you were healed." That's not an easy thing to do. But I'll tell you what, you won't do that for long if you just decide, "I'm locking this in." I'm not telling you from opinion, I'm telling you from experience. There have been times where, I remember when my back blew out and the hospital said, you're going to have to lie down for at least 6 weeks. You can't do a thing. I looked at Joy, I said, I'm not lying down for 6 weeks. Now, I wasn't developed enough at that stage to see God heal me immediately, but that was His will. You need to understand that. Anything that Jesus paid for, God wants you to have now. And if God had His way, you would have it now. Well, why don't you have it? Because God doesn't always get His way in your life and in my life. The more we allow Him to have His way, the more we'll experience His will for our life. But I remember when they said 6 weeks, and I looked at Joy and I said, "Agree with me." I said, "I'm out of this bed in a week." I said, "No more than a week. I'm out of this, and I'll be back at work in a week. Well, it took me just slightly. It took me 9 days. But I remember that first night, I got sent. They gave me these painkillers. They go, oh, these are these super duper extra calidocious or whatever painkillers. Take these; it'll really help you and stuff. And man, I just could not get to sleep because of the pain. And the devil was working overtime. I was getting these images like, this is you for the rest of your life. I was like, if I moved, it was excruciating pain. But I was in excruciating pain just lying down trying to be still. But that was kind of like the least amount. And I was getting these pictures. You're going to be like this forever. And I was thinking, man, I can't get to sleep if this thing is so bad. Hey? And then all of a sudden, the Lord reminded me of a scripture. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. I couldn't see or feel my healing, but I was choosing to believe that He's my healer. And if I couldn't see or feel it, then my faith has to rise up, because faith is the evidence. My faith I was using. The devil was saying to me, you're not healed. You don't feel healed. You can't get up. I said, I'm not looking at whether I can get up. I'm not looking at whether I feel it. I'm looking at the Word. And the Word says, faith is my evidence. I believe what God says. I remember I started laughing. I was in bed in pain. The next morning I got up. I must have fallen asleep at some point. I said to Joy, I said, I don't think these painkillers are doing anything. So I stopped taking them. Then I realized they were working. But I only needed to take those painkillers a couple of days. And within 9 days, I was up and I was back at work, eh? Now, if God had His way more in my life, that could have been an immediate thing, hey? And I'm working towards that. I'm moving towards that. And I want to encourage you to move towards it. Just because you're not getting instantaneous results doesn't mean that God's not working in your life or the Word's not working. But to rest means that you activate your faith and you believe what He says and you cease from self-effort. There is a work that we're called to do, hey. We don't work to earn forgiveness. Forgiveness came to us, hey, because of Jesus. We don't work to earn healing. We don't work to earn prosperity. But there is a work that we're called to do, hey. We work to love and forgive those that are unlovable. Hands up, anyone hurt you deeply? Wow, only three people, eh? Anyone ever hurt you really deeply? Anyone disappointed you? The work that God calls us to do is to love by faith. To love those people that have hurt us. To love those people that have let us down. The work that God calls us to do is to show mercy and grace to people that don't deserve it. Because you and I didn't deserve it. It's not for us to go, oh man, that guy's a loser. He's a retard. He's an idiot. They may all be facts. But the truth is God loves them. And we need to stay with the truth and not with the facts. We met some people that fitted those facts. We hired our car in Los Angeles, and I was lined up to... We'd already booked the car and paid for it and everything, and this lady came up who was working there, and she said, sir, would you like to skip the line? And I said, oh, that'd be wonderful. She said, we've got these screens here and you can speak directly with an operator on the screen and they'll just do everything that they're doing there, because there was a line. And so she said, you can go there. And I said, so it's exactly the same. She said, yep. So, all right. So I went to the screen. So I'm talking to this guy, and he was not working for the company, the hire company. He was working for an independent agency. I didn't realize this at the time. And his job was to upsell me on everything. So anyway, so he's getting, I gave him my details and he got it up, and he said, all right, well, you know, that's going to be $360 something US. That's like $520 Australian. And I said, why am I paying? I said, I've booked the car already. I've paid for it. And he said, yeah. He said, you have. He said, but you don't have PAI. You don't have roadside assist. And he listed all these things. He said, you're going to need all these things. And I said, oh. He said, so it's going to be $360 something. And I said, all right. And he said, now what about fuel? He said, are you going to bring it back fully fueled up? And like the previous company that we'd had in Fort Worth, they had the same sort of offer. You can just return it and didn't need to fuel it up, and they'll just fill it up and charge you for a full tank of fuel, which was around about $26 or something. And I said, oh yeah. I said, no, that's good. I said, we did that in the other city. I said, yeah, we'd like to do it here as well. Just fuel up. He goes, well, that'll be $69. That's like over $100 Australian to fill up a car. And petrol over there is dirt cheap. It's a quarter of the price that we pay here. Anyway, he's going really quick through all these things, and before I know it, I've swiped my card and he's taken all his money, and I go to sit down and enjoy, and I said, "We just paid over $500 for a car that we paid for." And she said, "Why'd you do that?" And I said, "I don't know." And anyway, so she said, "Well, you should question him." I said, "Yeah, I should." So anyway, so I went to the counter and I said to him, I said, "Why am I charged for all this?" I said, "I've paid for the car." And she punched it up. She said, "Yeah, you've paid for it." And she said, "Well," I said, "the guy on the screen was telling me that I needed this PAI and I needed roadside assist and all." And she said, "You don't need any of that." She said, "They're all optional." I said, "Well, he didn't tell me they were optional. He was talking as if that's what I needed." And she said, "Oh, no." So anyway, so they wiped it all off and stuff. We met some retards, hey, I'm telling you. But anyway, that's the facts. God loves him, hey, and I pray that God continues to demonstrate his love and mercy to this man. I'm going to close up in just a minute, hey, or in a couple of minutes. But I wanted to just introduce that there is a place in Christ, and it is a place where you cease from your own efforts. It's a place where you realize everything is done. And it's a place where you are free from being worn out and burned out. Hey, and it's a place called rest. Next week we're going to be looking at how we can enter in to that place of rest. But it's a very real place, hey. And I want to just share a testimony. And I've shared parts of this testimony in the last 6 or so months. But I want to share the full testimony. Number one, I want to share it because I like hearing it. Number two, I like sharing it because it brings glory to God. And number three, I like sharing it because it just rubs the devil's face in it, hey? You know, your testimony, right, the scripture says the spirit of Jesus Christ, the testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. When you testify of what God has done in your life, you are prophesying defeat and doom to the devil, hey? And you should be doing that every opportunity you get. So you've heard our story, how the previous year we had gone to the United States, and it was like a 1 minute to midnight provision. It was just a real miracle of finances. Just multiple thousands of dollars came flowing in the last few days. The last Sunday that we were here before we were due to leave, we had nothing except our tickets, and we had no money to book accommodation, to book a car, or even to live or anything like that. You guys prayed for us. This was the previous year. But we weren't saying anything because we knew that God had called us. We didn't know how it was going to work. And it came. It came. And I've shared that. But this next time, you know, I was seeking the Lord. And I said, "God, I'm so grateful that we went. It was awesome. But is there a better way of doing this? Like, I'd rather not wait till 1 minute to midnight before we get the provision." And he showed me this whole storehouse principle. He showed Joy and I this principle of the storehouse, and I don't have time to go into it here, but you can read about it. There's lots of places you can just do a Bible study on storehouse, hey? And later in the year, I will definitely share about it because it's something very exciting. We've seen just financial increase at a level that we had never ever experienced in our own personal lives. So he showed us this, and then as he was showing me this, you know, our daughter Erin, she got quite ill, and she came and stayed with us, and she went to heaven. And so there was a lot of things. There were a lot of things that kind of just took up our time with that. And so by the time we thought of coming to the United States again, was probably the middle of the year. Now I'd already worked out, like, to go to the States is around about $10,000 for us to do what we wanted. So if we were able to save $200 a week, that in 50 weeks that adds up to 10 grand. That's $200 that we didn't have. We live by faith, and God supplies our needs, but that's, we live comfortably, but we weren't going to take out of that because we weren't going to live like paupers. That's not what God's called us. But we're thinking, okay, we need $200 over and above our week-to-week needs. And now we're in the middle of the year, so even if we save $200 a week, we're only going to get $5,000. So now we needed to save $400 a week on top of our normal living expenses. And to book our flights, you need to do that several months in advance. Otherwise, prices go up the closer you get to departure time. So Joy and I, we just said, all right, let's agree. We're just going to agree that we're going to book our flights by October, early October. Well, that gave us July, August and September, 3 months to see, like, I think it was 2,600. Well, we thought it was going to be 3,000. We ended up being 2,600. We ended up doing that in late September. So we were ahead of schedule. It just came in. The finances came in. So then we looked at it. We said, well, what's next? Okay, accommodation. Well, that's going to be, again, about another $3,000. And then before we did that, though, God had already challenged us about moving house and trusting him. That was going to cost another $3,000. So we had promised the boys, we said, all right, well, once we get our tickets, we'll believe God and we'll call in the finances, which was about $3,000, to move. That came in 3 weeks. Supernatural. It was just supernatural stuff. So we moved house. And we were there, we were in the house by the end of October. October the 26th is when we moved. And then Joy and I looked at each other, we said, all right, now we need to get back for the USA. We've got we got November, December, and then we're off. We've got 2.5 months. We haven't got accommodation. We haven't got our car. We haven't got food, spending money. We haven't got any of that stuff. There's something like 8,000, or probably about seven grand or no. It ended up being 12,000, so it must have been 9,000 that we needed. So we instead of looking at the whole amount, we said, what do we need next? We need accommodation. That's going to be about 3. I said to Joy, that's coming in 2 weeks. We didn't pray about this. This was our prayer. I just looked at her and I said, in 2 weeks' time, we're booking our accommodation. And she looked at me without blinking and she said, or less. I said, all right. Over the next 2 weeks, we go, guess what? We're booking our accommodation in 2 weeks. And she looked at me and go, or less. Well, it was 1 day less than 2 weeks. We booked our accommodation. Then we saw what's next on the list, the car hire. So then we looked at each other again. We said, all right. Within 2 weeks, we're going to get the car hire. We thought it was going to be $1,500. It ended up being under $1,000 for us. And we got it, in less than the time that we targeted. And step by step, everything. The final thing that we came to was everything was booked. Now we just needed money for food and spending money. And I had said to Joy, originally at the start of the year, I said, oh, it'd be good if we had like $400 US each, which is about $700 or $600, $700 Australian each. And I said, that would be, but by the time we'd got here, we were just like, man, we're just seeing God do stuff. You know, what I'm trying to get at is this place of rest. This was not hard work for us. That's what I'm trying to illustrate to you. So by the time we'd got to booking the vehicles, I said to Joy, you know what? Who wants a measly $400? Let's believe God for $700 each. Now that's going to add up to a lot of money. You know, that's going to add up to like $2,000 total in Australian dollars. So I looked at her and I said, we're going to get our spending money, our food money, which was going to be around about the same amount as our spending money. I said, our food money. I said, plus we're going to have another $250 for entry fees and parking. We don't want that to come out of our food money. I'm not going to pay it out of my own spending money. So we'll get that as well. So we added all these things up. And so we're now here in sort of like early November or about mid-November. No, it was the end of November. That's right. We'd paid, everything was booked and we had like $150 in our account. We needed about $6,000 now. And I said to Joy, I said, that's going to come in before this year is finished. And she looked at me and she said, or less. And then I'd been meditating on this and I was just been meditating on this and I don't want to go into too much with this. You know, sometimes we struggle to get something because we see it's really difficult. We just think, man, if I could just reach here, man, if I could just believe God for this, then I'll be right. And one of the things God really showed me last year was, you limit me because you think it's hard. He said, do you think it's hard for me? And I said, no, I don't think you think it's hard at all. And he said, so why don't you see it from my perspective? So that really opened my eyes. And that was, I believe that was one of the major reasons we saw this stuff coming in through this. So I said to Joy, I said, you know what? I said, let's turn up the heat a bit more. We're not just going to get all of this money by the end of this year. I said, our budget is going to be met by the end of this year. I said, but on top of that, because I don't want to think that this is hard, because this is not too hard for Jesus. I said, when we leave, we're going to have $1,000, at least $1,000 in our account. I said, we're not going to empty our account and go and come back to nothing. We're going to have $1,000. Well, by December 31st, and you've heard me share that, our entire budget was met. And a few days before we left, we'd received $2,000 in cash into our account. Hey. It was a tax return. It was a refund. We didn't know that. Actually, I was meant to do my tax, and when we moved house, I'd forgotten about it. And then it was like December. And I thought, oh yeah, I've got to do my tax return. I might get fined. I wasn't really that motivated because I thought, well, we're not really going to get that much. I think probably $50 or something like that. So anyway, I better do it because it's the right thing. So I started doing it, and as I'm doing it, I worked out it was like a little over $2,000. What? That's more than 50. So I worked it out, going, no, this must be wrong. You know, I did it all. And I thought, that's right. I got my tax return in quick smart, hey. And God provided, hey. But the illustration, the reason I shared the story is because it wasn't a difficult, it wasn't something that we were sweating on, hey. It was a place of rest. It was a place of great confidence in God's ability, hey, that He had done everything and He'd already deposited. You know, everything you ever need is already in you. Hey. How good is God? Amen.